Turning God's Word tonight to Psalm 13. Psalm 13 is our scripture reading tonight and also the text that we will be considering as we continue in our series on the Psalms of Lament and looking at some of them. And tonight, Psalm 13. Read the heading over it, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Thus far we read God's word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, there are times of darkness and struggle in our lives, and we are thankful for these Psalms of Lament, which teach us how to pray in those times, and teach us also about thy great goodness. May we see tonight, even when there are times of hardship and struggle, that thou art a God who deals bountifully with us. May we believe that, may we hold on to that, even in the darkest hours that we face. We pray then, Father, that thou would speak to us in this psalm and through thy servant who proclaims it to us. May thy name be exalted. May the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ be proclaimed to us. We pray this in his name. Amen. As we continue in our series on the Psalms of Lament, the question that comes to us tonight is this: does our relationship with God include lament? I'm guessing it's a question you maybe have never faced before or thought about before. Here's the reason that it comes up. When you look at Psalms of Lament, almost a third of the Psalms are Psalms of Lament. One commentator said 53 of them, to be exact. So that tells us the importance of lament. It's not just a few of the Psalms in which you find them, it's a third of them. And on top of that, you have an entire book of the Bible by that name, Lamentations. A lament of Jeremiah in a very sad time of Judah's history. So we have in the Bible lamentation. And so again, the question is for us, does our relationship with God include lament? We might think at first that it shouldn't. We would think that maybe because we might judge that lament is a weakness of faith. It means that we're not trusting in God like we should, or we're not praising God like we should. When we think of prayer, we think of, well, in prayer there should be adoration, there should be confession, there should be thanksgiving, there should be supplication. You're familiar with the acronym ACTS. But there's another part to it. Lament. At times when there's suffering. And in fact, what we're going to see tonight is that lament arises out of faith. It's not because of a lack of faith. So that means for us, we should understand what a lament is. One commentator gave this definition: it's the honest cry of a hurting heart. The honest cry of a hurting heart. We can add to that the honest cry of a hurting heart that comes out of faith, faith in God and His promises. A lament is not on the very surface a disrespect of God, but it's a crying out of faith in Him. And what we find in the Psalms of lament is a wrestling on the part of the child of God with the truth of who He is. That He is good. And everything that He does is good in His sovereign rule. A wrestling with that and the reality that there are certain things that happen in our lives that don't feel very good. In fact, they're painful. Sometimes so painful that although we've not had a part of our body that's been physically hit or hurt, some things can be so painful they hurt physically. Not just inside, but physically. And there's a wrestling between that hurt and that pain, which is so deep and seems to go on so long, and the knowledge that God is good. And what we find in these Psalms of Lament is the psalmist talking to God about that and wrestling with that and working their way through that as well. And here's why that's so important. Such a lament is important, is bringing it before God in prayer, because if we don't, it can happen that we fall into the great sin of bitterness. And bitterness against God Himself. Because we just clam up, we hold it in, we hold on to that pain, and we don't bring it before God. So that's a lament. In Psalm 13, David looks on a difficult time in his life with this lament. We don't know the time of life. So the last Psalm, Psalm 3, we knew the time. It was when Absalom rebelled. And so David's cry was out of that. This psalm, we're not given the historical context or background. And we don't need that to understand the psalm. And it's important that we have psalms like this, because we might think that if we don't have a situation exactly like the psalmist had, well, then the psalm doesn't apply to me, or the lament doesn't apply to me. Here in this psalm, we don't know the historical background. We can speculate. And my speculation would it be that it was the time when he was being chased by Saul. And I'll tell you why in a little bit. But it's possible that that was the time. And David brings this psalm of lament. But what's striking about this psalm of lament is the movement in it. It begins with how long? Questions asked of God. And that repeated four times. How long? How long? How long? How long? And then there's petitions that are asked. But through those petitions, there's a turning in the psalmist's own soul. So he goes from how long to the Lord hath dealt bountifully with us. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. And so he knows that, and he comes to see that and know that even through this lament. And so that's the beauty of this lament. What's part of it is the ending of praise and adoration to God. So he begins with lament and ends with praise. That's what we're going to see tonight as we look at this psalm of lament under the theme, the lament in an enduring trial. The lament in an enduring trial. We notice first the questions, secondly the request, and then finally the confession. Again, following the order of the psalm itself. We said that a biblical lament includes an honest cry by faith of a hurting heart. That's what we find in the beginning verses of the psalm, a crying out of heart and lament before God. And I pointed out the question. The question is, how long? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me. On the one hand, David here is struggling with the knowledge that God is in control. But on the other hand, what he experiences seems so difficult, and it's been ongoing. It's a long and enduring trial. Notice that focus on the how long. That tells us this was an enduring trial for David. The reality was setting into David that this had been going on for a long time, and for him it looked like there was no end in sight. That's what he's experiencing. That's why he cries out, how long? Now again, that brings us to think about, well, when would this have been in David's life? Some might say, well, when Absalom rebelled, but really that wasn't a very long period. But you think about the time in David's life when he's fleeing from Saul. That's why I think David is looking back upon that period and writing this Psalm of Lament. Think about how it was that David was running all over the countryside, fleeing from Saul. And the struggle for David at that time was this. On the one hand, God said, by his being anointed, that he would be king of Israel. But at the same time, he's running for his life. And there were times when he escaped Saul by a very slim margin. It appeared to him that he might die. Yet on the other hand, he knows the promise of God that he will be on the throne of Israel. And there certainly must have been a time in David's life then when he's crying out, how long? Because when will this ever end? And so with that reality, David cries out concerning the blessing of God. That's the struggle in this enduring trial. And along with that, he speaks of the enemy. The enemy. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? That's what it seems like. The enemy of his is exalted. The enemy is winning. Whether that's Saul or Absalom or someone else, David had real enemies, and at this time in his life, they appeared to be successful. Again, God promised him the kingship, and it seems that his enemies are accomplishing whatever they want. And so in the end, David's struggle is this. Does God really bless me? Is his blessing removed from me? That's verse 1. That's how he comes to that. The enduring trial, the enemy seems to be victorious. And he says then, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And hiding one's face from one, the idea of turning one's face is showing favor to one. Now with the hiding of one's face, it appears to David that God had removed his blessing from him. That God was not going to do what he said he would do. And that's most painful for David. The blessing of God turned away from him. And that's why the lament. How long? Forever? How long will my enemies continue to be victorious? How long will this great trial endure? David is responding to difficult circumstances with these questions. David is being open and honest with his concerns and his struggles. And understand the way in which David does that here. He's not shaking his fist at God and saying, God, what in the world are you doing? I don't understand you. He doesn't say that. But we see here the faith of David, and we'll see that in a moment that he's crying out in faith, but he's confused, he's struggling. And we shouldn't understand this wrongly. There are some who put it this way. Some will say, well, God can handle your anger. If you're angry with God, well, then you just tell God how angry that you are with him. He can handle it. That's not what David's doing here. I don't believe he's crying out in anger. So you can say, well, you can be angry with God and God can handle it. No, anger against God is sin. Bitterness against God is sin. It's wrong. That's not what we have here. We have a different kind of lament. David's not shaking his fist at God. He's confused. He's struggling. He's talking to God about it. We sense the great struggle and sorrow that he experiences when he says that this is his daily sorrow, that he has sorrows in his heart daily. His situation seems so bleak. He's filled with despair and his outlook on life is gloomy. He knows and believes God is good, but it doesn't feel that way. We learn from this lament of David how to respond then to long-term struggles that we have in our lives, that we respond and can respond to long-term struggles in our lives with prayers of lament. Remember my question at the beginning, does your relationship with God include lament? Have you ever cried out to God in this way before? And we might think that this should not be done, that in fact doing so would be sinful, that it's a lack of faith on David's part if we would do that, that this would be a lack of faith in our part. But let's understand, not only is David not rebuked for it here in the psalm, not only does David not confess sin here in the psalm, but in addition, think of all the laments. A third of the Psalms, the book of Lamentation itself, there is a right lament before God. And again, this is a cry of faith. It's a cry of faith. So we must not then in our laments shake our fists at God. We must not pour out anger upon God. We must not go to Him with bitterness in our souls. But at the same time, we should understand when we're hurting and struggling, we shouldn't clam up about it. We might have that tendency, that we just don't say it. We try not to think about it. We avoid it in our minds and we avoid it in our prayers. But in the end, what that leads to is holding on to it. What it leads to is bitterness and anger against God Himself. The Word of God says this is a way for us to deal with the struggles of our lives. This is part of the way in which we pray to God. We open up our hearts to the troubles and the sorrows of our souls. And the passage here is an example of this. And I say here, this is a passage in which this lament is brought in faith. The beginning verses even show that. In the questions, notice David says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? O Jehovah." He's crying out knowing who Jehovah is. He's a faithful covenant God. God whose love never changes. A God who is powerful. A God who is self-sufficient. He trusts in Him. He believes that. And that's why he even cries out to God. He does this in faith. And so also we see then that such a lament is a cry of faith to God. And if still we're not convinced of it, look to Jesus Christ Himself. His cry in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. There's a lament there as our Savior was facing the cross itself. And He cries out in the awareness of what He is about to do and what He must do to save His people from their sins. So this is what we are to do when we wonder how long. When there are times in our lives when we might think that there is ongoing, long-lasting suffering in our lives. Some of you have had that, maybe others haven't. But you think about those times when despair and hopelessness might set in because the reality hits us that something that has happened is going to affect our lives, maybe for the rest of our lives. It's not, well, maybe a little bit like coronavirus. We thought, well, the kids are off school and we couldn't worship, or worship has changed, and in a few weeks things will be back to normal. And then suddenly reality sets in. Oh, this is going to be longer and our lives might be different. But even then, that's not quite it. I think about the grief that someone goes through when a spouse dies. And then the reality sets in. This is my life now going forward. It's the way it's going to be. Or someone with a chronic illness and radically changes their life even when they're very young, and the reality sets in. No, this is going to change my life for the rest of my life, however long that may be. And there's certain things I can't do and certain things that are forbidden. It changes everything. It might be that someone is abandoned by their spouse or abandoned by father or mother, and that reality sets in. You think about those things that will be for the rest of life and how difficult they may be. And we cry out, how long, O Lord? And along with that, there's the success of the enemy. At least it appears to be the success of the enemy, not an enemy like Saul, but maybe Satan and sin in our lives. And the reality sets in. This is a great struggle. It's going to be ongoing. Maybe a struggle with a particular sin in our lives. And there are ongoing consequences of that sin in our lives. And we wonder if God is against us when there are long-term struggles. We learn to cry out to God with lament. But in this lament, not only is there a crying out to God, as David does in the beginning verses, how long? But then he turns to petitions. He cries out to God in that way. And so David, we find here in Psalm 13, praying and bringing requests before God in verses 3 and 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. Before we get to the petitions themselves, the requests of David here in this psalm, let's understand here that in this time of trouble, David prays. We don't want to miss that here. We find David on his knees praying before God as he went through this difficult time in his life. And what's striking is that David is crying out to God while he wonders if God had abandoned him. It's almost as if, well, at the same time he's struggling with that, there's that tension. At the same time, deep down in his soul, he knows that God has not abandoned him. He's crying out to him. He uses the covenant name of God, Jehovah. And now he brings petitions to God in the confidence that Jehovah will hear and answer his prayer. Even though he's wondering about the blessing of God, still at the same time, he knows that God is there. He knows that God is faithful to hear his prayer. That's what he knows deep down in his soul. We know that too. Prayer is a part of our relationship with God. When we look at prayer, prayer is a part of our covenant life with God. We're reminded in prayer that God is our Father. And as our Father, He's the God who speaks to us. And this is what prayer is in our life with our Father. It's the way in which we as children speak to our Father. And we bring before Him praise for who He is. And we bring before Him the requests that we have, our petitions and our dependence upon Him. We're reminded in prayer every time we go before God that He's a God of covenant mercy, a Father of covenant mercy. In His great mercy, He brought us into this relationship with Himself, and He brought us into His family. But we remember also that in this relationship, we're not equals with Him. We're not equals. He's our Father. He's over us. We're submissive to Him. We are under Him. And in this relationship, remembering that, not only love and fellowship, but also that He's over us and He's the sovereign God, in this relationship we communicate. We do so respectfully. We also do so in love. And so we're encouraged here to pray. And especially when we're struggling as His people, we pray. In a world of sin and hardship, we're reminded here tonight that we are to be a people of prayer. As parents, I would dare say that you tell your children as they get older, if something's bothering you, if something's a struggle for you, I want to hear about it. I'm here to help you. I'm for you as your father, as your mother, as your parents. If you're struggling, we want to know about it. That's our relationship with God as well. When we're struggling, He wants to know about it. Not because He doesn't know. He does. But even though He knows, that does not mean we don't bring it before God. We don't pour out our hearts before Him. No, we do. Not to inform Him as if He doesn't know, but because of our dependence upon Him. And the answers to our questions are found alone in God. So tonight, we're reminded in times of this depression and despair and hardship, we must pray. We must pour out our hearts before God. Maybe we don't dare, but we must remember that God knows what we're going through. He wants to hear what we're thinking because He knows it already in His own mind. But it's through this very gift of prayer that God brings us to see and know truth. That's what we want to see and understand tonight. So a quick look ahead. It's through the lament, through the prayer, that David comes to see and know the salvation of God, and that the Lord had dealt bountifully with him. It's through prayer that we come to see and know things in a right way. And so that's the importance of prayer in the hardships and the difficulties of our lives. Now with that in mind, we see that David's praying, and his prayer is in the confidence of faith. We look now at what David prays for. David prays for three things. First of all, in verse 3, David asks God to look on him and hear him. So remember, his lament is, it seems as if God had turned his face away. Now David is requesting, "Oh Father, hear me. Hear me." What he wants to know is that the Father's face is not turned away, but his face is turned toward him. And that the Father will hear him, and that the Lord will answer his prayer. And so he's asking then God to answer the questions that he has. That first of all. Secondly, David prays for deliverance. He prays for deliverance. We read in verse 3, "Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." The question is, what does David mean when he says, "Lighten my eyes"? More than likely, this refers to the dimness of eyes when one is dying. So the trouble is so great for him, he's wondering if he's going to die. That again would tell us that maybe this is the time when Saul's chasing him, and he wonders if he's going to die at the hands of Saul. And so David's crying out, take away that dimness of eyes that is included with dying. So he's praying for deliverance in his trouble. He desires to see victory in his circumstances. He desires to have the hope of that victory in his circumstances. So he cries out for that victory and for that deliverance. And then thirdly, in connection with that, he cries out for deliverance from his enemies. That's verse 4. "Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." Don't let the purpose of my enemies be accomplished, David is saying. But instead, give the victory. Give the victory for the glory of thy name. But understand that these petitions of David are rooted in the very character of God and God's promises. So these petitions aren't just, this is what David wants. And so whatever David wants, he brings before God. He thinks something, and out it comes from his lips. No. He's thinking about God, His character, and His promises. That's evident again from the name that he uses. Notice verse 3. O Lord, my God. O Jehovah, my God. He knows that God is Jehovah. He is the faithful covenant God. He's the God of covenant mercy, as we have spoken of. He's faithful in that covenant mercy. He's the eternal God. He's self-sufficient. He's in need of no one. Oh, Jehovah. And then he says, my God. My God. He's not just the God. He's not just the God out there. My God. He knows that he belongs to God. It reminds us, doesn't it, of the language of the Heidelberg Catechism, that we belong to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Thus, Jesus is our Jesus, and this God is our God. Not that we tell Him what to do, but we're loved of Him. We're part of His family and His church. So David, he cries out in that knowledge, in that awareness. That's what drives his petitions. Secondly, we notice that what drives his petitions then is not his own selfish desires. Yes, he cries out for deliverance, but not for himself. Not just so that he has an easy life. But instead, he cries out for deliverance because he desires the glory of God. That's verse 4 when he talks about the enemy. And the enemy winning the victory. It's not about David and his defeat. It's about the name of God and His promises. If the enemy wins, then God's name would take a hit. And the enemy could say, not only have I defeated David, but I've defeated his God. That's what it comes down to. And David, he's petitioning on the basis of this. The glory of the name of God. God, glorify yourself in this deliverance. Show that you're God. Show the enemies that you are God. So David pleads on the basis of God's promises. Beloved, this is how we are to pray as well. In our laments, when we're hurting and struggling, when it seems the enemy prevails, this is what we pray. God, hear us. Show us thy love. O Jehovah our Father, deliver us. Deliver us from what we're going through. Deliver us from our enemies, especially the enemies of Satan and our own sinful flesh and a wicked world in which we live. But we pray this not for our own easy life, but we pray this on the basis of Jehovah's promises. Not to remind God of those promises, but to say, Father, this is why we pray then, that your promises, what you promised to do, would be accomplished. Crying out as well that his name would be glorified. That's what's to motivate the petitions of such a lament. Because we know he is a God who always does what he says he will do. He always does. And so that's what drives the petitions of this lament. And now, crying out to God, David goes from lament to praise. David moves from despair and agitation to peace and comfort and praising God for his victory. That's what we find then in verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. What a beautiful ending to the psalm. Beginning, how long you can sense the despair in David's petitions to God. and wondering how long these things are going to continue. And then he comes to see and know truth, and there's no more despair. David remembers the truth of God's mercy, God's salvation, and dealing bountifully with him. His thoughts slowly turn from himself and to what he knows about God, the truth of God. So he goes from feelings, really to faith. From feelings to faith. It's like the sun comes out on a cloudy day. Those clouds, those gloomy clouds are there, but then the sun breaks out. The sun of the truth about God. And he sees God clearly. What does he see? He sees that God is a God of mercy. And this is what we see too. God is a God of mercy. What's mercy? It's his compassion and pity upon us in our misery. In the misery of our sin. It's the attitude of God towards us of compassion, but not just attitude, but there's action that follows that attitude and the desire of God to bless us as well, even though we don't deserve His blessing. David now sees that God was not against him, but for him. All along, God was for him because He is a God of mercy. As a God of mercy, He's the God who saves. He's active in His mercy. He's a God who delivers His people. That doesn't mean He delivers from every hardship and every difficulty in our lives, but He keeps us faithful to Him. What David learns then is he must not see God on the basis of the circumstances of his life, on the basis of what he feels as he goes through them, but instead, he must view God according to truth, according to the truth of who He is. And we remember then, God has told us in His Word that there will be suffering for us in this life. There will be. That's what's true for all those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's parting being a disciple of Christ. We should not conclude from suffering then that God is against us. Suffering does not mean that God is against us, but instead it testifies, in fact, that God is for us and that He is working for our good. And so we see then that He is a God who deals bountifully with us. You see and know that tonight, that God is a God who deals bountifully with us. We see and know that when we see the outpouring of His love upon us. He is a God who has poured out goodness upon us, riches upon us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. In Jesus Christ, there is full and complete salvation. He is the Savior who pours out on us the blessings of salvation, so that we see in Christ and by the working of His Spirit that our God is a God who deals bountifully with us. And part of that is that God is bringing us to our heavenly home. He's bringing us to our heavenly home through trials and hardships and doing that to conform us to the image of His Son. And along the way, He pours out upon us grace upon grace. He gives us the best blessings in Jesus Christ, our Savior. He gives us life in Jesus Christ, and He gives it to us abundantly. It's striking. Other places in the Psalms, Psalms 116, verse 7, Psalm 142, verse 7, the psalmist confesses the same thing. The Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. It's repeated in the Psalms. Let us repeat that as well in our prayers to God. O God, Thou hast dealt bountifully with us. So we find that through this lament, David's not bitter. He's not angry. He's not shaking his fist at God. But in this lament, the faith that God had given to him was strengthened by God, so that now this faith produces praise. This lament ends with praise. But to see and know that and take notice of that here as faith clings to and looks to God alone, not feelings, not circumstances, faith gives us the right understanding of God, and then it leads to praise. David rejoices. He sings here. I will sing unto the Lord because He hath dealt bountifully with me. Think of other times when God's people in suffering praise God. Think of Paul when he was in prison, persecuted. What did they do at night? Sang praises to God. It's because of what they knew about God. So also for us in our suffering, we can and we do praise God because of what we know about God and His faithfulness. We can rejoice and sing even in long-term suffering and after long-term suffering. But because we know in that suffering and we know after that suffering that God has dealt bountifully with us in His great goodness. So may this be true of us tonight too, even in our suffering, that we know the Lord has dealt bountifully with us. We can't contain the joy that is found within us, so we sing praises to Him. Lament to praise. May that be true for us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for Thy Word. We recognize there are times, Father, when we need to cry out in such a lament. And we thank Thee for the confidence that is given in this passage and many others, that Thou art a Father who hears our prayers and answers us. Father, we praise Thee. We sing praises to Thy name because Thou art a God who has dealt bountifully with us. We see and know that in Jesus Christ our Savior and the great blessings of salvation that Thou has given to us in Him. And so may that carry us through in this week, that we would sing praises to Thee because Thou hast dealt bountifully with us. Dismiss us with Thy blessing in this night. Give us strength as we return to our work and labors in this week. We pray again for Thy blessing upon the synod of our churches as it meets in this week to lead and guide all the work that is done. Use it for the glory of Thy name, for the good of Thy church, for the defense of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go with us, Father, we pray this in the confidence of Thy good promises to us and for Jesus' sake. Amen.